Good morning.
Good morning.
I've played in front of large crowds before, but have been never been too nervous. But this crowd here, I'm a little nervous. But it's only because the Word of God is important. And it's important, the message that we bring to you this morning. So that's the only reason that makes me nervous. But I'm thankful to Brother Gary for this opportunity. Wonderful, awesome opportunity. And I'm just humbled and honored to be standing before you all this morning to preach a word from the Lord. And I'm excited to kick off our Words of Life revival. Like Brother Gary said, we have great guys who are coming this week, and we're excited to bring you all the lesson that we all have presented. Come with me as we take a brief look at the word disciple.
Yes, sir.
Disciple. We'll see how it is used in Scripture. We'll see who are the true disciples.
All right.
And we'll see the costs associated with being a disciple.
All right, man.
See, most often we label ourselves as Christians. We call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ.
Right.
But the interesting fact is that Christian is only found three times in Scripture.
Amen.
Disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11:26. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. 1 Peter 4:16. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Acts 26:28. But if we look at the word disciple, that word is found 268 times in the Scriptures. It's mainly found in the Gospels and Acts. It's found once in Isaiah or twice, depending on your translation. The original Greek word here is mathetes, which means a learner, a pupil, a disciple. But if we dig deeper, this word doesn't mean just a mere pupil or a learner.
Yeah.
It is an adherent who accepts the instructions given to him, and he makes it his rule of conduct.
Amen.
Disciples would often imitate their teachers in their lifestyle, in their speech, in their actions. But in all cases, it implies that the person not only accepts the instructions given to him, but he follows it. He makes it his rule of conduct. First, we want to see how disciple is used in the context as one who follows one's teaching. The Pharisees considered themselves disciples of Moses, John 9:28, and they also had disciples themselves. John the Baptist had disciples, Mark 2:18. But it's often used to denote the 12 apostles who Jesus chose out of the general group to be his disciples, Matthew 10:1. They were to teach and exercise power in performing miracles and validation of the authority that Christ transferred to them. But as we look at disciples, we want to look at how it is mainly used in the Gospels to represent those who truly follow and believe in Christ.
Amen.
There is a distinction, however, to be made between multitudes and disciples.
Amen.
See, there were many people in crowds flocking around Jesus, swarming Jesus. They wanted to see and hear what he had to say, what he had to do. But they were just fans. They were close, but they were not adhering. See, when we adhere to something, that means to stick to attach to it firmly, get sticky, get clingy. But the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, do we truly adhere to Christ? Or do we use worship service and Bible class as a social gathering, resulting in us being ineffective, unusable in the kingdom of God? Are we truly attached to Christ, or are we just putting on the front for others?
Amen.
See, we enjoy hearing what Jesus has to say. We enjoy his blessings. We enjoy when things are going good, but we never truly apply his word to our life.
Amen.
The second point we'll look at is we'll examine the characteristics of a true disciple.
All right.
And we need to see if we fit in this description.
All right.
See, disciples are to love one another. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, we have to love like Jesus loved. This love is visible. Jesus sacrificed time, effort, and even his own life for others.
Amen.
A disciple also abides in the words of Jesus. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue, if you abide, that means to remain, stay, not to depart in my words, my teaching, my doctrine, then you are truly disciples of mine, or you are my disciples indeed, truly, most certainly. True disciples should never depart from the word of Christ. Another characteristic we look at is a disciple bears much fruit. John 15:8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. How do we bear fruit? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we drop down to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. See, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So again, it seems imperative to me that we abide in Jesus and he will abide in us. This makes us true disciples. Now that we've seen the characteristics of a disciple, we now want to look at the cost. I'm sorry to tell you, but there is a cost associated with being a disciple. Right? As a brother read here in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Now, large crowds were going along with him. Now we like large crowds. We enjoy, we have a lot of people here, or we're happy. But watch what Jesus says to the large crowd. He said, he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Amen. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Amen. See, Jesus wanted to dig deeper. He wanted to see who was really going to be with him. Jesus said, I'm here, mother and father here. I'm here, wife, husband, children, they're here. Christ wants preeminence in our lives. See, Christ said, are you willing to pick up your cross? We try to switch. Are you literally willing to pick up your cross? I may be led up to be crucified. Are you literally going to pick up your cross and follow me? Are you willing to go with me all the way? See, we keep reading. Christ warns us to count the cost first. Verse 28. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Jesus wants you to think this through. He doesn't want you to make a quick rash decision, right? He wants you to think, you have to count the cost first. He says, otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. See, we want to make Christianity, we want to make following Jesus, we want to make it look pretty sometimes. We want to make it easy for people. But the truth is, it's not always that easy. And when we convert people, we tell people about the Lord, Jesus wants them to be all the way in. Because if they're not all the way in, when things start to get hard, when you start to suffer a little bit, when your prayers aren't getting answered like you think they should be answered, then you may just quit. See, Jesus doesn't want you to start on the journey and then quit. He doesn't want you to be a partially built tower. Drop down to verse 34. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. Yes, salt is good. It seasons. It preserves things. But flavorless salt is good for nothing. Jesus said, if you put it in the soil, it doesn't do the soil any good. Even if you put it in the manure, it doesn't do the manure any good. It's good for nothing. It has to be thrown out. Jesus does not want to pile up a bunch of flavorless disciples. He wants fully committed adhering disciples. He doesn't want flavorless church members. Right? So Jesus' concern was never to just impart information or to deepen an existing attitude, but he wanted to awaken an unconditional commitment to him. He doesn't need any more fans. He wants fully dedicated followers who will stick to his word. Now that we've seen the cost associated with being a disciple, is it really worth it? What are the benefits of being a disciple? Peter said in Luke 18, "Behold, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brother or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time in this age and to come eternal life." See, Jesus will reward our sacrifice here on earth, in this life, and eternally. A few other rewards, a few other benefits of being a true disciple, we get the peace of Jesus, John 14:27. The love of Jesus, John 15:9. The joy of Jesus, John 15:11. And we can be declared righteous by his blood, Romans 5:9. Do these rewards outweigh the cost? If so, then this is the best investment you can ever make. See, as I conclude here, a disciple should become like his teacher. Matthew 10:25. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul tells us, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." See, we have to think like, act like, talk like, walk like, love like, forgive like Jesus. And as disciples, we also are taught to make other disciples. Matthew 28:19-20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of, in the authority of, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, make disciples is the main verb here, and there's three participles that support that verb. Go, get out your comfort zone, leave from where you are, baptize. When you're baptized, you're putting on a new name. You're a new creature. Now you represent the name of Jesus. Then he says to teaching them to observe what? Observe all things. See, we like one and two. We can go, we can baptize, and we stop right there. But see, there has to be some application. There has to be application. We come, we enjoy hearing the word, we take notes, we amen. But where's the application? The Bible speaks not of being a hearer only, but a doer. James 1:22. "Be sure you live out the message and do not merely listen to it and so deceive yourselves." See, as true disciples, we are to make other disciples. We like to make church members. But Jesus wants fully committed, self-denying, fanatic disciples. He does not need any more fans. He wants true followers. And I'll leave you with this, John 12:48. "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." Since we will be judged by the words of Jesus, then we obviously should know his words, abide in his word, and make sure our manner of life lines up with his word. I just encourage us all to continue to grow, abide in, and stick to, adhere to the word of Christ, so that we all may be the true disciples, the true disciples that are mentioned in the scriptures. Amen. Amen.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And I, if I be lifted up from draw men unto me. Come on, let's lift him up.
Let's lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw
all men unto me.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Didn't he do a great job, Brother Miko? You didn't know this. That wasn't his first time preaching. Yeah, D'Amico is very modest and very humble, but he studies his word, and he has been committed everywhere he's been, and so we thank him and thank him for it. Are we God's true disciples? I tell you what, before you say yes, you better count the cost. Amen. Let's transition to the word saints. To the word saints. The word saint comes from the Greek word hagios, and it means to be consecrated to God, holy, sacred, pious. And in Scripture, it is almost always plural. It's almost always plural. Listen to Acts 9:13. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem." Acts 9:32. Now, as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who were at Lystra, at Lydda. And then Acts 26:10. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. The Apostle Paul speaking of his persecuting of the church. There's really only one instance in the Bible, in the New Testament, of its singular use. And that is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 21. Philippians 4:21. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. So there are 67 times in the New Testament, in the Bible, that the word saints is used in the plural, and only one time is used in the singular, only one time, and it really refers, it has the thought of the plural in mind when it uses it. It has the thought of the plural. Saints is a group of people set apart for the Lord and his kingdom. And then there are three references to the character of the saints. As you heard Brother D'Amico elaborate on disciple, three references to the character of the saints. In Romans chapter 16, verse 2, Romans 16 of 2, of one of the saints, Phoebe, who was probably carrying the letter to the Christians, to the believing brothers, that was to be read to the church, it says that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Did you not know that God wants us to live a certain kind of way? He says even those that are saints, especially amongst the saints, we're supposed to treat each other with honor. With value, with great value. Oh, you are a saint. You are a Christian. He says that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Saints are workers. Saints are to be equipped with the word of God. Not just to sit on the word, not just to be selfish with the word, but to use the word for works of the Lord, equipping the saints. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Ephesians 5, 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named. Can I talk? Can I preach? Among you, as is proper among saints. Yes. So the Bible says that saints ought to be living a certain kind of way. And I know we all trying to grow. Are we all trying to grow in the Lord? Yeah, we all trying to grow in the Lord. We may not have arrived where we want to be, but know this, that God wants the saints to look a certain kind of way. Note, he says immorality. The world needs to see example. You know what the church needs? The church needs some married couples to act like they married. Amen. Amen. To honor. It's beautiful. See, now we preach about it and we teach about it, but I tell you what, it means so much more when we go home and our children come to church, they hear these sermons, and they when they go home and they see something different, it negates the word of God. God needs to see some saints living, honoring husbands, honoring their wives. They need to see husbands treating their wives with tenderness and kindness and speaking kind and doing kind things and vice versa. They need to see some wives saying, submitting to their husbands and not fussing and cussing all the time. Yeah. Need to see some wives cooking for their husbands and serving their husbands. Going down the line, Brother Gary. That's for the saints. Amen, amen. I know some women say, you ain't have to go there. But I'm talking about the saints this morning. Yeah, some saints, yeah, they need to see husbands praying for their families. Amen. At the dinner table, at devotion. Yeah, we need to clean up our language as saints in the Lord's church. And yeah, we need to clean up our, we need to quit asking for the Lord to go understand and excuse me, well, I just grew up like that. What's proper for the saints is proper words, and proper acts and proper deeds. We're talking about the saints this morning. We're talking about the disciples. I told that there is a cost to being a disciple. Because we know what we face with. We know that this not anybody is called a saint. Not anybody is called a disciple. And so we can't cheat folks. See, he said as saints. He says immorality. He says impurities. Saints ought not be just money hungry all the time. Or greed. Always looking for how you can cut a deal that's going to do you the good. Yeah, the saints are a different breed of folk.
Amen.
Yeah, saints represent Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Saints look a certain way and act a certain way and talk a certain way. It's proper for saints to act that way.
Amen.
And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, you read and heard and you're hearing. See, the saints are the body of Christ. That's what they are. That's what we are. We are the body. We are the fingers, the arms, the legs. We carry out the works of Christ. And Christ left us at the ultimate example on how to talk to people, how to treat people. The saints are the body of Christ. Christians, disciples, the church. All Christians are considered to be saints.
Amen.
All of us that have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we are saints. All Christians are saints, and at the same time, we are called to be saints. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified, set apart in Christ, saints by calling. By calling. It's ordered by God that we're called with you in every place. Call on who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the Lord, after their Lord and ours. Sanctified, holy, And the word saints, and I know you've heard use in the Catholic Church, Saint Paul, is not a title. It's not a before my name title to set me apart from anybody else. It's never, ever used that way in the Bible. It's always a plurality, a group of people, a referring to a group of people. So for me, for you to say I'm St. Gary would be not according to the scriptures. No offense to anyone, but the truth is just the truth. If you just compared it with the way the Catholics, see in the Roman Catholic theology, it states that the saints are in heaven. Well, in the Bible, the saints are on earth. Amen, somebody. Amen. The saints are about doing the works of Christ Jesus as we walk into this world. In the Roman Catholic teaching, a person does not become a saint unless he is canonized by a bishop or by a pope, or appointed by a bishop or a pope. But in the Bible, everybody who's been baptized into Jesus Christ is a saint. And nobody else has to point you as a saint, because when you're baptized, God has placed you among the saints. And by the way, I don't need nobody trying to canonize me to be a saint if God has already done it himself. Amen. In the Catholic practice, the saints are revered and prayed to, and in some instances they are even worshiped. But in the Bible, the saints are called to worship. We're called to revere. We are called to pray to our great God in heaven. And so I just have one question before I close this morning. I have one question with you this morning. Maybe two questions. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost of being a disciple? And now that you understand what it really truly means to be a disciple, notice a student, a pupil. Yes, he's a follower, but a student. You know, in the ancient times, some of the monks, when they went to these monasteries, they actually emulated everything. They were not allowed to talk, to say anything. They were not allowed to do anything. Then they just listened and learned, and many of them emulated everything they saw. It used to be a commercial, used to come on television, you know, it was actually a cigarette commercial where this little boy was following his dad around. Been years and years ago, he followed him there, and he did everything his dad did. He walked right like him did. He tried to rake the little leaves like him, and his dad sit down next to a tree, and he pulled out a pack of cigarettes. And one of the things that you'll find as we live our lives, that more people watch what we do than listen to what we say. Because you got a whole lot of smooth, silver tongue men and women who talk a good game. But Lord, when it comes to living, it's a whole different thing. My second question is this. Are we saints? Are we children of God? Are we the body of Christ? Then we need to represent, we need to look like Jesus Christ everywhere we go. I challenge you, students, young ones under the age of 18 that's still in school, if you are a saint, I challenge you to live like a saint when you go to school. I know that's a heavy challenge today. That's a heavy challenge, because they talk, your groups talk a certain way, they wear certain clothes. Saints don't wear anything. Amen, somebody. Saints look in the mirror before they walk out to make sure they are representing Jesus Christ in the best way that they can. They make sure and they ask the question. People ask me all the time, again, what does the Bible say about tattoos? What does the Bible say about earrings? What does the Bible say that says to count the cost to be a disciple? Yes, and you count the cost, you'd answer some of them questions yourself. Ask yourself, what would Jesus say about what I have on? Yes, sir. what I just said, what I just did. That'll answer the question for you. Yeah, that'll answer the question for you. And I want to admonish our whole body, especially this local body. And many of us, some of our members travel a lot. I talked to some of our members who are truck drivers who fly all over the world. And many of them, the testimony I get from many of them when they call and say, "Bro Gary, I went to church of so-and-so. I went here to so-and-so. I'm here and that." "Oh, Bro Gary, the world is in trouble. There is so much going on out in the world." And you know what? The world need us to be lights. The world need us to live examples. The world need us to live righteous lives. Amen. So folk will not have an excuse to say, "No, everybody's doing now." No, we're doing God's work. Amen. And we are the saints. There's a song we sang. When the saints go by, I love that song. "I'm just a weary plodding through this world of sin. I'm getting ready for..." You know the song? Sing it if you know it. "Oh, when the saints go marching..." Yeah. "So when the saints go marching in..." "Oh, when the saints go marching in..." "Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number..." "Oh, when the saints go marching..." Now listen, I want to extend the invitation, because if you are not a saint, you won't go marching in. And in order to be a saint, in order to be sanctified and set apart for the body of Christ, you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, which adds us, our response to it adds us to the body of Christ. And you do it by faith, hearing the word of God. You've just heard a portion of the word of God this morning. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. It all ties back into the word of God. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Hebrews 11:6. If you're willing to repent of all of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth what your heart believes, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you don't have to worry about the Pope canonizing you as a saint, because God will add you. He'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. I love the thought of that, that God knows our name. And now you have become a saint. You have become a disciple. You have become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. You have become a valuable person on this earth in the Lord's church, and you are valuable to God already. And perhaps there's somebody here that needs to be baptized into Jesus Christ this morning. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Somebody come to Jesus this morning.
"All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.